Okay, well, this week, or well, we'll just back up a little bit from last week, where we covered was Paul and Silas at least, and maybe, and maybe even probably Titus started their second missionary journey. Well, that was even going back to the last part of Acts 15, but where they'd gotten to was. Were these seven cities that they had evangelized on the first missionary journey, or Paul had. And what Luke mentions is that they went to Derbe and Lystra, and then at Lystra, the town that had stoned Paul previously, but this time, fortunately, no mishap that way, and they had a great pleasant surprise. They were reintroduced to a young man. He had become a Christian on the first missionary journey, and now he's a few years older. I think probably close to 5 years older. So, and they think he's maybe a little under 20. You know, anywhere from 15 to 23, something like that is kind of where they put Timothy. But anyway, he's a few years older and gained more knowledge, and obviously a good speaker. And Paul is very enthused about the potential of Timothy. And so he has a righteous mother and grandmother. And so obviously he talks to them about taking him on the missionary journey with him, and they said yes. And so they pick up another traveling companion that, of course, will become a lifelong companion and a friend of Paul's. And then Luke mentions that after they have evangelized here in the Galatian territory, now they have a dilemma. So they've done all of these on the south side of a modern-day Turkey. And they've gone from east to west. So the logical place for Paul to go, and what he logically did as far as intended to do, is go on further west here to what is known as Asia or Asia Minor, which is this western peninsula of modern day Turkey. And so they were going to come right here, and there's several major cities here close to the Aegean Sea, just adjoining here to the Mediterranean Sea. And so these were larger, thriving towns and cities. And so that's why he was going to come here with the group, and they were going to start evangelizing. But the issue was the Holy Spirit blocked the group from coming here for some unknown, unstated reason. And but if they had, then what became known by what John listed and wrote to the book of Revelation as the seven congregations of Asia, they would have gotten started a few years earlier if Paul had been allowed by the Holy Spirit to keep going west and evangelize them early. But for some unknown reason, the Holy Spirit blocked them. So then, now Paul was in a dilemma again, but he thought, okay, well, hey, let's go north. You know, we evangelized to the east. We can't go west. You're not going to go south. It's the Mediterranean Sea. So let's go north. Let's go to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit blocked them from going to Bithynia. So they were all blocked in. They'd evangelized to the east. They decided they were not going to backtrack there. They can't go west. They're not going to go south and go to the Mediterranean Sea and get on a ship and go somewhere. And now they can't go north. So they go south, northwest to the province of Mysia. And they go to a town called Troas. Now, what my thought is, and Kaufman didn't have any comment as far as why Mysia, except they were not blocked there. But what my thought is that is consistent with the thinking that we've been discussing and talking about over the last several weeks maybe month or whatever, that Titus is with them and Luke is Titus's brother, then this line of thinking is consistent with this proposal that what thought that I have. Here, they couldn't go west, they couldn't go north, they'd already evangelized to the east, you're not going to go south. So then they probably thought, well, now what other possibilities are there? And then Titus could have said, well, my brother Luke lives in Troas, and he's a Christian, and he's been evangelizing. And what we do know is, Acts chapter 20, on the third missionary journey, on their way home, there's a congregation right there in Troas. And who knows? Maybe in it's in somebody's house. And maybe Luke's, who knows, we're not told whose, but anyway, regardless, it's somebody's house that has an upper room, and that is where Paul preaches till midnight on a Saturday night, and then this young man, due to drowsiness and sleepiness, he's sitting at the window, and he falls out of the window to his death, and then Luke goes down, pronounces him dead, Luke, of course, being a medical doctor, pronounced him dead. There was no life in him. And then Luke sends for Paul to come down. And then God through Paul raises this young man named Eutychus, raises him from the dead. And so he comes back to life. Then they go back to the upper room. And then it's after midnight, which would be Sunday morning. There's various thoughts on the time frame of this, but that's the only thing that makes any sense. That it was Saturday night, what we would call Saturday night, but Paul, being a Hebrew, that was still the first day of the week after 6 p.m., but he taught from whatever time, probably close to 6 p.m. till midnight. That's when the boy fell asleep and fell out of the window in the loft and to his death. Then it was after midnight. Then they all went back up after rejoicing and praising God that he allowed the young boy to be raised from the dead. And then they partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, after midnight, then what we would call Sunday morning. And they would have called it Sunday evening, but it was before daylight of Sunday morning. And then whenever daylight came, then Paul and the group got on a ship and traveled. But anyway, so we know there was a congregation here at Troas, and it's not much of a supposition to theorize and suppose that Luke was very instrumental in this congregation here at Troas, because we know just a few verses down, maybe like 13 or something, a few verses down from where we actually are here in Acts 16, that Luke includes himself as one of the preachers of the gospel. And so he refers to the preachers of the gospel as we. And so he's one of them. He's a preacher of the gospel even right here, right off the bat. So my thought is, since they couldn't go north, west, east, they're not going to backtrack to going east. They could have, but they decided not to. They wanted to go to new territory and not going to go south to the Great Sea and sell somewhere. And so they go northwest, and very likely Titus may have said, well, let's go and visit my brother. And as they were then traveling through the province of Mysia on their way to the town of Troas, they never were blocked. And so they end up at Troas. And then, very likely they've already met Paul. I mean, already met Luke at this time, because at night, God, the Holy Spirit, sends a vision to Paul, which in the vision is of a Macedonian man, which is of the northern part of Greece, and it's the home province and was the home country of Alexander the Great and his dad, King Philip. And but it was a Macedonian man that was imploring Paul in this vision, come over here and help us. We need the gospel here in Macedonia. And so then after Paul came back from that vision, he told the group, okay, we know where we're going. We're going right to Macedonia. And so they left and that morning, and they went straight as fast as they could, got on a ship and went right over. And the first, Luke states as the principal city or the foremost city that they went to was Philippi. So there's various thoughts. Kaufman mentions a little, they don't know if that meant that that was the largest city in this part of Macedonia, or if it was the first city they came to, not real sure. The first city that they evangelized, but anyway, Kaufman says it may be in both and probably both. But anyway, so they stop here at this city of Philippi, which was, I don't know, may have been the hometown of King Philip, and then, of course, his son Alexander the Great, because it's named after King Philip. I didn't catch if it was definitely named after King Philip, but I don't know if that was their hometown or where he grew up or anything. But this was a principal major city of Macedonia and then also of Greece as they merged together after Alexander the Great merged both Greece and Macedonia as one nation. Then when the Roman Empire, a few hundred years down the line, became the empire that dominated everything, they made Philippi a territory, like a city state of the Roman Empire. And so with that came better roads, better fortification, better protection. So anyway, Philippi was a very important city and obviously a larger city with more people in it. And this is where Paul and the group decided to stop and evangelize. Well, they get there to Philippi and they don't find any synagogues. And that was Paul's modus operandi, his mode of operation. Was to, when he went to a new city, every time he would go to the Jewish synagogue first, and then he would branch out from there to evangelize the Gentiles. Well, there were no Jewish synagogues, which to have a Jewish synagogue, there had to be at least 10 Jews. Now, Kaufman's supposition and explanation of why there were no synagogues and obviously not even 10 Jewish men in that city was that the emperor had kicked out the Jews out of Rome just previously, and this was like the previous year. I looked up on the internet. The previous year, and here we are at 55 AD here at this time, so it was 54 AD that Caesar had kicked out the Jews out of Rome. And I didn't look into why, but it was probably some kind of an uprising of some sort. And Kaufman's thought was that very likely Philippi, being a territorial city of Rome, they followed suit and they kicked the Jews out of Philippi. That would explain why Paul didn't find any Jews in the city. And so, and they got there earlier in the week. Of course, Paul is preparing for the Sabbath because of the Jews. He's still looking for Jews or Jewish people or Jewish proselytes. But since there was no synagogue, then the next place to look was by the river that was outside of the city. So that became Paul's plan, and it ends up being a good plan. So then Paul and the group, after they've looked around the city all week, then on the Sabbath, on the Saturday, they go outside of the city to the river, and they come upon a group of women who is led by this lady that Luke mentions and names her. It's not her exact name, but calls her Lydia, which from the Greek means she's a Lydian woman. So really, Lydia is more of an adjective describing the province that she's from, which was over here, which is, and then he states that she was from the city of Thyatira, from the province of Lydia. And so this is the very spot that Paul would have evangelized, but he was blocked by the Holy Spirit, so they went just north of there through Mysia instead, and on to Troas that brought them over here. Obviously, the Holy Spirit was ready for Paul to go into Europe and start with Greece evangelizing. And so that's exactly what they are starting. And with this group of women that they find, they are, Kaufman felt like that they were Jewish proselytes on the internet. It was more of the thinking that they were not fully Jewish proselytes, but they were following the Jewish teachings and all. And so they were meeting on the Sabbath by the river, which is the protocol that the Jews did. If there was no synagogue, then they would meet at the river on the Sabbath. And so Paul, this, and then that's the verse there when they meet that Luke said, that we taught them, we preached to them the gospel, is how he states that. And when he said we, that lets us know that Luke was also a preacher of the gospel whenever they showed up here to Troas. So this sometime in the past, he'd become a Christian and he'd been educated enough to where he was able to teach the gospel to others. And so he hit the ground running with Paul and company. And they taught the group of women. And then, of course, as we've discussed, this Lydia was a seller of purple, meaning that she was, she and her group of working women would extract this dye out of these shells, and then they would use this purple dye to color garments and fabrics with the clothing, and then they would sell them, the color purple being the most expensive color in that first century time frame. I don't know how long exactly, but during these Roman times, the most expensive color, and it was known as the color of royalty. And so only the rich, the royalty and the rich could afford it. And so she was a very successful and wealthy businesswoman with her group of women, but they still took time off. And on the Sabbath, they were right there at the river worshiping God. And so then after Paul and group, which includes Luke, and they teach them the gospel, and they all are ready to be baptized. And they all become Christians, the whole household, all of those women. And then Lydia implores Paul and company to come home to their house and stay with them a while. First, Paul turns her down, but she insists. And so through the imploring, he gives in to her. And so then they go and they stay at her house. And then obviously, there's much more teaching. Obviously, she's wanting to hear more and more. She can't get enough with her and her group and household of the gospel. Any questions or comments on any of this?